all put this together, realize that this is God's word, and I can effectively communicate it. And then, at 2007 was about my time when the door opened, and I took my step to go to Houston. And there was only a little tiny that I knew of, a little tiny Bible study over East Houston. And I live way north of Houston, but I would travel over an hour just to get there to support the other gentleman who was driving from New Braunfels over to Houston to teach the Bible study. I didn't need to go for my own benefit because I knew how to study on my own, but to support him. And even though I may have heard that message a few times, it kept getting deeper and deeper into my subconscious, pushing it further in, that I knew by the time, because he preached on Ephesians chapter 2 for almost a year, and I loved it. Because you start there and then you, boom, go everywhere else. And I don't know if y'all been taught how to study yet, on how to do this.
We're waiting on that.
Okay. Well, we're going to do a little bit of that tonight and continue with the question your mom had last night and the question your dad had today. And we're going to continue on and kind of break it apart. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 28. I'm going to show you how the Lord teaches. Through His Word. Now, it's His Word He shows us, and it's been shown to me, and it works. How many of y'all have children here? Just you?
Mm-hmm.
Children? Young children? Oh, young children?
No, young children.
Young.
These are the only ones.
Okay. Well, it's like one time we had a little girl who was in fourth grade at our little Bible study in Arlington. I said, Reagan, are you ready to start studying quantum physics?
No.
And she wasn't. She's still doing her multiplication tables into triple digits in multiplication. But how did she get there? She started with 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, and then eventually got to 2 times 2. And in the same way, we start with God's Word. We start with the basics, and we start building a foundation, and we build upon that foundation. And surprisingly, what was said is foundation. Now, the foundation is the Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the whole thing, but we don't bite off. It's like how you eat an elephant, one little bite at a time. And the same way with God's Word. We take it one step at a time, because as you well know, a lot of this is overwhelming. And it's relieving, and it's a grace message. It's telling you that you are saved for eternity. But you can eventually prove it through the Word of God. Show people how you're saved and safe. And I'll show you through this little diagram today how you can effectively say, I cannot lose my salvation if I wanted to. These good people could.
Yeah.
But these can't.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why. There is a definite reason why. Okay. Isaiah 28. Look at verse 9. Whom shall he, the Lord, teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept.
Howdy, brother. Come on in.
How you doing?
I'm Clyde Heron. Come on in. We just started.
Okay.
We will be. Verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to know, understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Now verse 11 is a prophecy of Acts chapter 2. But verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go. And he just says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. That you might go backwards and be broken and snared and taken because they never believed the word. But how it comes is little by little. For instance, with our little children, we just start teaching mommy, daddy. This is mommy, this is daddy. And they go dad, dad. And my first word out of my son's mouth was ball. Because I played basketball and I played... I had footballs, basketballs, all kinds of baseballs, and he understood what a ball was. First thing was ball, not daddy. The ball. I want to play ball. And so, but he learned little words and then sentences. And I was just watching a baby with a pacifier in his mouth who could not talk, but yet the dad said, "Take this to your mother." He took it and took it to his mother. He understood sentences and concepts, yet he cannot mouth them yet. Here a little, there a little. The Jewish person in the Exodus was taught to teach their children in the morning, at night, in the afternoon, when you sit down at dinner, talk about it when you at your bedside. Every time you turn around, talk about it. And we, many churches we study, we take start from the book of Colossians, we're going to go through Colossians, and they never leave the book of Colossians. Or Matthew, it doesn't matter, take a book. And the Lord Himself, the Holy Spirit Himself, using the Lord Himself, Paul and Peter never once said, turn to Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to start there and go to the end of the book. Every example we have, they use bits and pieces of Scripture all over. And it was designed that way. That's why, look in verse 11. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." That's a prophecy of the tongues that he's going to be assigned to the Jews. And that's just in the middle of this verse, chapter. A little bit of prophecy here, stuck here, and then stuck over here. Every now and then you'll read the book of Psalms and you'll see, oh, wait a minute, that's about the Lord coming. And it's just one little verse stuck in there. That's exactly how the Lord wanted to. In Proverbs, it talks about a king having buried treasure and it's coming out bits and pieces at a time. And it's an honor for him to pull it out. The same way for us to pull out buried treasure in the Word of God. That's why when one verse kind of goes, whoa, that was great. It's that buried treasure you have. And you're going to have bits and pieces of that over and over and over. And then some verse will finally come to life to you. And you'll think, I have known this verse for a long time and now it makes sense. When I got saved, this verse made sense. Therefore, being justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, I've memorized that thing for 2 years and now I know what it means to have peace. And it was true. And I finally it made sense to me because it does take time. You had to get saved too. But it did make sense after that. For instance, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know y'all have heard this. Verse 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Have you heard that before?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Look at the next verse. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His," capital S, "Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him?" This is one of the key verses that tells you Adam's spirit did not die when he was sinned. You got to have a spirit to tell you what to do and tell you do this and that. "Save the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the," capital S, "Spirit of God." Now watch this real carefully. "Now we have received not the spirit," little s, "of the world, but the," little s,
capital.
"Spirit." Wait, no, it's a little s. Oh. It should be a little s. Your Bible has a capital S. It's wrong.
No, it's
a little s.
But the Spirit, my Bible has a capital S.
It's wrong. It's a little s. If your Bible has a little s, it was just some...
The spirit of the world or spirit?
It's a spirit. It's the spirit. No, look at
the spirit of the world, the spirit of God.
"The spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." There is a spirit given, not the Holy Spirit in this sense, because watch what, look in verse 11, the middle of verse 11. "Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit," capital S, "of God," Holy Spirit. "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, which is evil, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are pretty up." There is a spirit which is able to communicate to us. It's not some kind of form of ghostly type thing. It's like saying the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of... we have not received a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. Are they little ghosts flying around? No. It's that spirit type of. It's the word is pneuma. The spirit for pneuma is where we get the pneumatic tools, pneumatic air. It's unseen, but there's something you can tell when you have air blown against you. You cannot see it. You can feel it, and you see the effects of it, of the fan pushing the air. It's this spirit. It's pneuma, and so.
So we're talking about three different spirits.
Yes, we are. How many spirits are there from God in Revelation?
Seven.
Seven spirits of God. Always have a purpose. Every one of them has a job to do. God has a...
Are they all one Holy Spirit? Or no.
No, the Holy Spirit is directing everything.
Yeah.
Now, think about this. In your Bible, most of the Bible versions add in verse chapter 1 and verse 2 of Genesis, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and they capitalize it, and it's not capitalized. It's a little less. Do you think the Holy Spirit reigns over chaos?
No.
Mm-mm. When God enters a picture, things change.
Yeah.
But the spirits are able to, like the spirits, seven spirits of Revelation, what are they doing? They're putting down some heavy judgments on the earth. And that's what their job is to do, whatever the Lord wants them to do. They're not little ghosts running around, and I'm not even properly identifying to you, but there's something that God has given to you to communicate with your spirit and the Holy Spirit to get this thing across. It's like in your, y'all know capillaries in your blood system, your cells. Capillaries come across, they start out like this and they branch out like this and they come across and they tie across. And you have fresh blood and waste blood pulling and going through and supplying the nutrients. And they come like this and then they like this. And it's sort of like this porch. And in the morning, the middle is our spirit, that little spirit communicating. Holy Spirit over here pushing it, our spirit over trying to receive it. And it's a bad analogy, but I'm just trying to give you some idea that there's a way to get the word to you. How do you do it? First, you read it. First you believe it, and then you read it, and believe it's just God's Word. God will open the understanding with time. If you ever read the book of Proverbs, this is a suggestion just for your own benefit down the road. If you have time, for years, and I mean years, I read 5 Psalms and 1 Proverbs a day. And after you do that, you start understanding that Proverbs is how to deal with man in a practical sense. Psalms deals with every known emotion that we have and how to deal with them. And it's our emotions. David, have mercy on God. You know, for I'm a, you know, Psalms 51, you know, a sinful man. Psalms 34, I waited on the Lord. I mean, I'm sorry. It's one of my favorite, and I can't even, just drew a blank. Or Psalms 23. It's not written to us, but it's the most comforting psalm that I've ever had in my life. It was the first one I ever memorized. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down beside green pastures. He maketh me lie down beside the still waters. He maketh me, leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, he does. But even that is the word of God that comforts us. Blessed, verse Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor walks the way of the sinner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I think about in the Guadalupe River, close to where I lived for 10 years, I used to walk down to the river and just think about things, and the river's flowing, and there's these huge cypress trees. Halfway in the water, halfway out. The root system is all over the place. You could knock it over with a five-star tornado. They're so secure in the water. They're strong, and they pull the nutrients from the ground and from the water. Now think about that tree, always bearing leaves, always at perfect timing, because they have all the nutrients and all the water they need. And we'll be like a tree if we meditate upon the Word of God. Now, with this thing right here, watch this as we continue further. Verse 12 again. Now, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, what is that?
Evil spirits.
Who are you? Are you spiritual things or spiritual?
Spiritual.
Spiritual. Yeah. What are spiritual things?
Happening.
The Word of God.
You're comparing your spirit. Hey, this is making sense. Mm-hmm. Comparing spiritual things. Now, as you go back here a little, there a little, you compare things with over here and over here. It's like Jesus is walking on the road to Emmaus with those two people. And beginning with Moses, he expounded all the way down through the prophets. He expounded the word. He went dum 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 dum, and then he said, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he taught us the word of God and break forth the word? Did not our hearts burn?" And God was used. The bread of life sharing the bread of the life, and it's how the Lord Himself sharing the word of God. And it's speaking to their hearts. But he used bits and pieces all over to show how he was supposed to be crucified and then raised from the dead. Killed and raised from the dead. And he showed through the scriptures. Now, verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, capital S, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But look at this. We have the mind of Christ. And where is it? Absolutely, it's a book. The mind of Christ. The wisdom of God. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Yes, you do. The mind of Christ, exactly right. You want to know God's will? Open the Romans to Philemon. Your doctrine is specifically to you. Everything else about the Bible will back it up.
I thought it was something I had to have in my head.
Well, that's what was taught. It's taught as you pray, get yourself clean, and the Lord will impart unto you wisdom. No. It's through the Word of God.
It's this.
It's the book.
Well, it is here.
It is the book.
He's watching.
There's... It's like the pastor said, the Holy Spirit will use His book, and that's how you worship the Lord, through His book. Jesus Himself told you how to worship. We worship Him in spirit and truth. And He told the Pharisees, "You worship Me in vain, for you teach the doctrines of men rather than the doctrines of God. You worship Me in vain." Do you jump up and down and sing? No, they didn't sing back there in the synagogues. They taught bad doctrine. When you teach the right doctrine... What's the only thing that can heal your spirit right now? I said it yesterday. Psalms 105:20 or 107:20. He sent His word and healed them. He didn't send a prophet. He sent His word. His word's what does the healing process. As I shared with you yesterday in John 6:63, the flesh profiteth of the, is it the spirit that quickeneth? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, little s, and they are life. It is a spirit that quickeneth, makes you alive. What keeps you, as you well know, what keeps people going and what keeps people or makes people fall off and die? It's a spirit within them. Do you want to live?
Yeah.
You'll live more than likely. I remember watching the grandfather when one of the aunts said, "Don't worry about Paul. We'll take care of him. Just go ahead. It's all right. Go ahead." And he let go and died. But he's holding on to make sure his wife is going to be taken care of. Well, he had saved plenty of money, and he had done things right frugally. And don't worry, Papaw, we'll take care of Nanny, is what we called her. And she'll be taken care of. And she was. But and then once he had that sense that she would be taken care of, he just let go. Boom. Instantly died. But he was holding on. And his ticker just couldn't handle it, but he was holding on. But he was just worried about his wife being taken care of. But he had raised his family correctly all the way down, and so they were going to take care of her. But he was worried about it. So anyway, I told you Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. "For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you, anxious or inner turmoil I have for you, and for them at Laodicea. And as for many as have not seen my face in the flesh," they haven't seen him personally, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement," just acknowledging, of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, the three separate mysteries. Look at verse 3. In Christ, of in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Look at verse 10. For in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And look at... in chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Look at that order. Teaching and admonishing one another in spirit, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And it goes on down with all these things to do. Turn to your left, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18 says, and don't drink wine, because you're going to get drunk. That's how everyone else reads it. That's how I grew up. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now watch this order. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, and on it goes. Do you see something that's here that's not over in Colossians? Yet it says, and here it says, be filled with the Spirit. And over in Colossians it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you always in all wisdom. Richly in all wisdom. How do you get filled with the Spirit? The pastor told you. By the word of God. Why is it that we come together and fellowship around God's word and it kind of energizes us? Mm-hmm. Because it's the word of God, the Holy Spirit using his word that he inspired to empower us to do the Lord's work as far as getting the gospel out and helping people to grow in the Lord. God would have all men to be saved, and come into the knowledge of the truth. Get them saved, yes. And then correct their behavior? No. Come into the knowledge of the truth. It doesn't say correct their behavior, get them saved, and lead them to the truth, because that's the whole world system. If you get good enough, you can join our church, then we'll get you saved, and then, or I'm sorry, get you saved, and then we'll join a church, and then we'll teach you the truth as we know it, or we want you to learn it. That's how I grew up, same way. And the system is designed to put you in bondage.
Amen.
It's designed that way. Because turn to Luke chapter 4. You think the Lord's in charge of the world system. Well, the Lord doesn't even want this world system. It's putrid to him. Mm-hmm. It was offered to him, and he said, are you kidding? I came down from glory. What do I want this for? I have everything in my fingertips if I wanted it. Look at chapter 4, Luke. Did I say Luke, right?
Mm-hmm.
Luke chapter 4, look at verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led in by the Spirit into the wilderness. And another passage says, to be tempted. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing and on and on. And look at, the bread alone thing. Oh, by the way, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. And that's where it stops in practically every other version. But every word of God is taken out. And verse 5. And the devil, now watch this. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Everything that's happened and will happen, he said, this is what I'm planning. Let me show it to you. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. No, he didn't rebuke him. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan was telling the truth there. Mm-hmm. Everything's mine. It belongs to me. And then people say, well, the Lord's in control of this world. Let me put it in this perspective. Sure. Here's the top. Is God. Here's Satan down here. He thinks he's running it. And he is. And the Lord knows everything from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. And he's already told Daniel, here's what's going to happen the rest of eternity, and then here's the rest of the history. Let me tell it to you. And Daniel just kind of writes it all down, going, wow, I don't understand this. This is crazy.
Does he not know that?
Who?
Satan.
He doesn't believe it. You got to realize, Satan does not believe he's going to lose. I'm serious.
Why wouldn't he?
He is all-knowing.
He is not all-knowing. God is all-knowing, but not Satan.
Satan is smarter than we are. Satan never sleeps, and he doesn't care who he destroys. He knows the Bible backwards and forwards. But he does not believe it. Why does he think he keeps fighting the Lord?
Exactly.
I'm going to cause him to lie. He thinks God's going to lie. Somewhere along the line, God's going to lie. But God, who cannot lie, in Titus chapter 1, who cannot lie, he's looking for a lie. And he keeps looking for a lie. I'm telling you, he at the cross, we won. Woo-hoo! It's over! It's done. He didn't believe he was going to come back from the dead. He came out of the tomb. Foiled again. It's that old line back in the old comic series. Drat, foiled again. And the same thing is, well, we'll just stop this. We'll sit down and rumor that he just got stolen by his disciples. And that got passed around the Jews. That's what they believe. Well, somewhere along down, this blasphemer got saved. And they're pulling their hair out. No! No! What? He can't get saved. There's no way! Then this gospel comes out, the gospel of Christ. Oh! Beat again! All right. We're beat again, we'll just start distorting it. And that's what he had to do. The mystery of iniquity that already works. They have to destroy it because he's got rats, rats, rats. It's the same thing. But I'm going to get you. I'm going to win. And he thinks he's going to win. If he didn't think he's going to win, why would he fight?
Truly.
You think he knows the word of God?
Oh, yeah, he knows backwards and forwards.
What about when he reads about being cast in the lake of fire?
What are the two books the most ostracized as far as the world? If you were to go talk to them about Genesis or Revelation, what are the two? What's Genesis? The beginning, and the Revelation, the end, and what's mocked the most in Genesis?
Creation.
What's mocked at the very end? That there's a hell and eternal judgment, and there's going to be a great white throne, and
right.
Satan loses, and all these battles. You really believe all that's going to happen, all these wars and everything like that. Ha ha, you idiots. That's what they say. That's what I was told back in college. You idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
huh.
Look at creation.
Mm-hmm.
We have everything to prove, I mean, not prove, but show that evolution just doesn't work. Their own theories backfire. When I was in college, the theory was the evolution, because we don't know DNA, if we ever find out how to break forth apart DNA and learn the genetic codes, we will prove evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? We've broken the genetic code. We have DNA. What does it prove? Creation. Did it happen? Just like that. It happened with a... Do you know the odds of you becoming a monkey with your DNA? It's like filling up the state of Texas about 20 miles deep with silver dollars, and there's one down there somewhere in the state of Texas, and you're going to find it on the first time. It's stupid. Do you realize? I mean, if there are odds, the odds, astronomical odds. So it's impossible. And the genetic code, the more I say about the genetic code, it's just, there's no way. If you ever gone to a doctor's office, you see the skeleton on the picture on the wall, and you see the muscle chart on the wall, there's a tube that comes out of your body naturally. It comes out right here. Every one of us has it. At one point in creation or evolution, that tube say, I need to get outside. Come out and come over here. And be. In 9 months, a lady will produce a baby that has fingers, toes, eyes, synapses, a beating heart, 4 chambers, layers of skin, fingernails, hair, eyes that can see that we cannot still duplicate, a brain that can think, all those in 9 months, and produced from a egg and zygote we cannot see except under a microscope. It's phenomenal. And if you ever have Wayne Ray come here and teach, he always teaches about some aspect of creation through science. And by the time you go, our God is so awesome. When we think about creation, it's just how He set up the whole thing. And even in the curse, it still works perfectly. It's amazing. Okay, let's continue on. He cursed the ground, but He didn't curse His creation as far as it's working. It still works perfectly. Do you know that if the earth is 100 miles further from the sun or 100 miles closer to the sun, we cannot exist?
Sure.
That we're on a perfect axis going around the sun completely every time at 23 degrees? It's perfect. We turn around, we get a perfect amount of sunshine, perfect amount of fall, winter, and all those things there. It's just perfect. It spins at 1,000 miles an hour, creates a day in 24 hours. And if we had a moon closer to us, we'd get yanked off the earth. We would get pulled out by the gravitational pull of the moon and get sucked up. It's amazing what the Lord did. So,
wow.
All right. Go ahead. You got a comment. I don't mind.
I'm just thinking of people.
Men love darkness rather than light, as we saw it yesterday. I have seen with my own eyes, and I read, here's the verse that says, Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures. Well, that's what you say it says. Let me read it to you again. Watch my finger. And then I'll read it. Oh, that's just what you say it says. The God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not. There's unbelief. It's always unbelief. Why do you think we can't correct behavior through punishment still? The Romans crucified people who did wrong. Did that stop the thieves and the murderers? No, they just kept on crucifying them. And later on they developed a system, the rotating, it's horrible. When they developed this system of killing people. And did that stop murders and thefts? And no, it slowed them down a little bit, but it was so horrible, but it never stopped it. Why do you think going to a church system and being good, we're better than you, ha, 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 you have to be like us. At my church, we don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't go with girls with you and all that other stuff, and we don't play cards, and we don't do this, and we're so much better than you, and we're all lost and going to hell. That's the problem. Because we keep setting our system, and y'all, and I've heard about the system all week long, or all the last 2 days, and I've studied it right before I came here to study the Mennonites and Amish and all that to see if I knew a little bit. I didn't know some, but not all of it. But it's the same system. What's changed?
Yeah.
Just the garments and the names.
Yep.
Yeah. The names have been changed to scare the innocent or whatever it is to start again.
The Amish and the Mennonites are both religions named after a man.
After a man, exactly. Who came from the Anabaptist movement. The Baptist came from that. And it's all from the system. And what does Solomon say? There's something new under the sun? No, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same old system.
Yeah.
Another Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Let's make it work. All right. Continuing on, and what I'm trying to encourage you to is if you go continue in the Word of God, just ask the Lord to send you a teacher or whatnot to help you continue along. Because we have no authority over your faith. Paul warned about people trying to take authority of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
We are encouragers of your faith to help you grow and to increase in knowledge so that you can stand on your own two feet and go anywhere and say, this is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I do not mind going anywhere. I don't mind debating a PhD. I don't mind talking to Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't mind talking to Mormons. I don't mind talking to anybody because I've studied. Do I know it all? No, not at all. But I'm confident in the Word of God that it will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have prepared myself to deal with these type of situations, and I still study to try to learn how to deal with these situations on an ongoing basis. I mean, this situation would be a little bit different as far as going over to a church or type thing, because I would be viewed as much as an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get in the same store accidentally, we're on the same ground there. I might go to ask, hey, boy, you're a phenomenal person. And I really enjoy that. Are you saved?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Did He die for your sins? Or whatever? Or just get it to a point where if you died tonight, where would you be? How would you get to be in front of God with a just cause? Well, I'm trying as hard as I can. Wrong answer. There's none good. No, not one. Jesus Himself said, there is none good but God. So who do you think you're like? I think think that Jesus lied on that one. That's why we say we're good. Mm-hmm. Jesus was a liar, according to man. He's not. He said there's none good but God. And there's, it's,
he said you didn't want to call down me good.
He said call, well, he wanted him to recognize who he was. Yeah. If I call thou me good, there's only one good but God. Come on, God. I know who he wants. I'm God. That's the response he wanted to get. He told me, I am the Son of God. But he never took anything away from the Father. He wanted the man to acknowledge who he was, but the guy said, I am good enough. I keep the commandments. Well, to get eternal life, he had to keep the commandments. But what about being perfect? Sell everything you have, because now it's a new thing being offered. It's not just the land. It's the kingdom of heaven. To be perfect in the kingdom of heaven, you have to sell everything you have and die for your faith. So that's why Jesus said it's hard. It's easier for a camel to go to the eye of a needle, a literal needle, than for a rich man to come into the kingdom of God, because they're going to have to give up everything they have. Because what was he saying? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Which means, in the Jewish mind, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The cross. And the next thing is Jacob's trouble on the prophetic calendar. That's what they were looking for. That's why he sell everything. What's going to happen during the tribulation? You're going to have to take a mark of the beast to set, buy and sell. If you take the mark of the beast, you're history. You're whacked. You're going to go to the lake of fire. So in order to avoid having to take the mark of the beast, get rid of everything you have, even your wife and your children, and follow me. In Luke 14, it says, if you do not hate your mother, your father, brother, sister, and your own life, so even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. And people talk that out and say, well, he just meant the attitude. Well, Peter, in the next verse, later on, says, well, Lord, we've left everything. What's in it for us? And I tell you, you have not left anything that you might inherit, and you'll sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And I know when Peter heard that, his eyes blinked and the thrones came into his eyes. Oh, yeah, that's what I want. That's what he wants, inheritance. He's going to be sitting on a judgment throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel in a city that's above the earth for 1,000 years. And then a new creation starts and just goes on for eternity. Now,
Martin Randolph, like that. Martin Randolph.
What's that? 1,000 years?
Well, he doesn't believe that Peter's different than Paul.
Okay. Well, let's just start doing this. I'm going to show you how the difference. I'm going to go over 1 John 1:9, what he asked about today. Now, what does the law say? Just basically, if you keep the commandments, then I will bless you. If you don't keep the commandments, then I will curse you. Turn to 1 John 1:9. John 1:9. What's the first clue that it's not for you? What's the first clue that this is not for you? And what is that clue? If. If we confess our sins, He is faithful, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all future tense too, by the way. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, someone had asked earlier, why is this person in Ephesians 5:5? It's fornicators and the whoremongers and all these things. Why are they inheritance and all this stuff? Who is that person? It's a lost person. Are you cleansed from your unrighteousness right now?
Yes.
Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive, together with Christ, him, comma, this is past tense now, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. Does all mean all? All till you're saved, and then afterwards you have to confess all your sins after you're saved, like the Church of Christ saved? No. All trespasses. Watch this this transition. Look, turn to Romans 5 and Galatians, and turn to these two passages, Romans 5 and 2 Corinthians 5. 5 is the number of death.
Yeah, me too.
Romans 5
and Colossians, 2 Corinthians 5. Now watch this real carefully. Real carefully. Verse 8. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, it was shed, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's future tense. We shall be saved from wrath. The wrath is the tribulation period. The wrath that God pours out on earth. That's the day of wrath. Now watch verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, not friends, but enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, were we saved yet? No. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, comma, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He rose from the dead. He saves us. But guess who's reconciled first? God towards us. We were reconciled to God by the death of the Son. This is how it was. God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 19. To wit, no. That God was in Christ doing this. Hey, come on, I'm reconciled to you. Being reconciled to us, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, ye be reconciled to God. Watch this. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us. Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. There is nothing God is holding against you. There is nothing God is holding against the world. There is nothing that God you can say that God's mad at. God is not mad with anyone. God's already reconciled to the world by this judgment called the cross of Jesus Christ. When Christ was on that cross, God put sins and sin nature on Christ. That's why he can say to you, don't be a servant to sin anymore. Before, you're a servant to sin. It's a natural thing to do in our flesh. But he broke the power of it. We sin now when we're saved willfully. I think I'm going to go out and sin today. Well, we don't really think that, but we do it. My goodness, this is the buffets. Gluttony. Oh man, there's another one. But I'm cutting back on those, and I realize that this is not a good example, and plus the fact it's bad for my health. But the thing is, I didn't have to go to that, and I had the desire not to go, but boy, that chicken over there is good. It's only $4.99, and it's a bargain. So I made a salad, but it was $4. And the lady said, that's a big salad. It's like Mount Everest. It's healthy, isn't it? Yeah, but it's like 10 pounds. So, mind your business. But Christ died on the cross for sin, the sin nature, and the sins, all the sins were from Adam to that last person that's born. And he put it on, and at noon, Amos said, God said this, you're going to see something you've never seen. It's going to go completely black without an eclipse. And at noon, God turned his back on Christ, and Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God could not look on them because that's when the judgment happened. The final judgment of the physical part of this thing. Now, as we said yesterday, when he died, that body had not sinned during his earthly life. It laid there in the tomb and it never did stink. It never did go corrupt. It couldn't because there was no sin in his physical life. However, there's a circumcision in Colossians that says a circumcision made without hands, when God separated this from the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul went to hell. Well, what went to hell with him? Sins. The penalty. Death. As we saw in Hebrews, he tasted death for every man. After the first death, in the past it says he died, and then he tasted death for every man. And Peter said, Lord, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go die with you, Peter. You can't come with me now. You don't understand it, but you can't come with me now. You're going to die for your faith, but you can't come with me now. Because where I'm going, you cannot go. He belonged to the Lord. Who's going to hell? You can't go there. Well, he could die, just like the Lord died, but Peter's soul's going to go and rest, but the Lord had to go here. To take something, take care of something, preach to the spirits in prison, and take everything that offended the Holy God, and take it to hell and burn it up.
Every time we think we can work it out, we say he didn't do it.
That's exactly right. He didn't do it enough, or we have to do something. Then we're not complete in Christ. We have to add something to it. Christ plus, Christ plus. And what do we tell the Holy, Holy God? You didn't do enough for me. Yes, sir.
Well, when he was on the cross saying, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, was that a human, his human spirit?
In that Ecclesiastes, the spirit goes back to God, who gave it.
But I mean, he was God.
Yes, he was, but he was a man. It says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ.
But his soul went to hell.
Soul went to hell, his spirit went to God, and God sent it back, said, don't stay here for 3 days. Woo, go back. And the Spirit of God raised him from the dead, and that same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you. It gives you, by the power of God, is going to raise you and give you a new body, change you in a twinkling of an eye, take you for eternity. He sealed you with His Spirit. He sealed you to the day of redemption. You cannot believe. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can change God's mind. Who can lay any charge against God's elect? It's God that justifies. All right! He died for you. You're justified. That's right. Who can lay anything to God's elect? Well, if God doesn't, then who else can?
Amen.
Satan? You're gone.
I'm telling you.
Baptist Church? You're dead.
Why do we allow them to make me... I mean, I'm asking myself, why do I allow somebody to make me feel guilty?
Well, because we don't, as we said, we haven't learned who we are in Christ. That doesn't occur to anymore to me. It doesn't affect me. No one talks to me like that. And it's not that I'm sympathy, but I know what to say now. We were taught a system that put you in bondage to control you, to bring money, to have a job, to control you, to make everyone think you're good. And it's Galatians 6 says it's a fair show in the flesh. Because if they preach Christ and Him crucified, they would have to suffer the shame for the cross because it separates the men from the boys, so to speak. It tells me that I am nothing and I need a Savior, that I'm no good in my flesh. At 13, I knew I was rebellious. At 10, I knew I was a sinner. But I knew I was no good. And when I laid my head after that truck accident, when I was almost killed, and I laid my head on the pillow that night, if I died, I would have gone to hell because that's what I deserve. That's what I deserve. I knew I deserved that. Because of all the things I have done. And I'm not a murderer. I haven't robbed anybody. I don't go around beating people up. I only had one fight just to prove that I was strong enough to take care of everybody so nobody ever bothered me. But that's the thing is, I didn't fight. After my rebellious year, I was a model student the rest of my... In fact, I was in the yearbook because they chose 16 students for outstanding honors for leadership and all. Well, guess what the principal sent me? All the troublemakers. Would you go talk to this guy and talk to him? And I did. Hey, you're going down the wrong path. Come stick with me. I'll help you and help guide you along. In my 10th grade year, this Pentecostal was being picked on in my biology class by this bully who's only about 5'4". But the Pentecostal, he was mocking him and making fun of him. And I just told him, Johnny, leave him alone. If you don't leave him home, I'm going to take you outside the class and I'm going to whip you. And I stood up and I stood over him and I said, I'm not lying. Leave him alone. And I just said it like that. sat back down. Well, what are you going to do if I do it? And I went over there to grab him. I'm going to take you out there. I may get expelled, but I'm going to whip you. So they never touched this guy again. They never touched all the Pentecostals. I went to go to lunch. I went to sit down at lunch. Everyone knew where I sit at the table because I'd sit down in the same place. And I was a football player, so everyone knew me. But wait a minute. Where's my table? Oh, all the Pentecostals there. That's, hey, Glenn, how you doing? So I was a friend for 2 more years because I stood up for them. And I'd already started going to irregularly to my church, the Baptist church. But I wasn't going to let them get picked on. That's not right. But was I saved? No. But we learn things and we grow. And it's just how, man, I don't know what the point is. It's just, God justified. Who's going to lay an effect of anyone? There's no one that can condemn you. When people condemn us, we let them. And it's not that we go, hey, stop that. I'm going to fight you. No. It's who you know in Christ. It's why, it's when I want to talk with people about the Word of God, and they say, I don't want to talk about the Bible anymore, and I go, then we have nothing more to discuss. Well, let's talk. No. Since you're going to reject the Lord and what He said, why do we need to discuss it further? There's the answer. Well, I just know. Here's the answer. If we don't want to believe this book, then we have nothing further to discuss. And I've done that several times. I didn't ever think I'd ever do that, but I have. Now, let's do this little fun thing here real quick. Kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John also said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The disciples were sent out, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When he was crucified, they said, the kingdom of heaven is here. Now it's being offered to you. Where do you find the kingdom of heaven? Matthew through Acts chapter 7, basically. That's where it's offered. The land which is given to the children of Israel is in what books? Genesis through Malachi, Hebrews through Revelation. The land to Israel. Is it in this part, Romans or Philemon? No. Their inheritance is two places. The Israel is the earth, that land where Israel is, where they might be, on the earth. And then the kingdom of heaven that's above the earth. The kingdom of heaven and the land. David's going to go in the land. 6 times it says David's going to be their king. He's going to be resurrected to be the king of Israel. This is where the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, the 144,000 at least, are going to this place. And this is what they want. It's a place where I go to prepare a mansion for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. This is it. This is not our place. Paul knew of this. He missed out on it. But he went up to a place where he saw far above all heavens. He saw something.
Because I don't want to. Because he was a blasphemer.
He couldn't get this. This
because
was
of that.
The unpardonable sin is only in the kingdom of heaven. Not today. Do you realize that we blaspheme the Holy Spirit every time we resist the gospel of Christ? Until we get saved, we blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
But that's what I'm saying is because he
yes,
was
a blasphemer
and a murderer, he could not enter
no,
there.
He was a blasphemer, not a murderer. He was a blasphemer. What was forgiven? Everything but resistance to the Holy Ghost. You resist the Holy Ghost, you're a blasphemer. You're not going to be forgiven. Murder was forgiven. David?
Mm-hmm.
Moses? Who else? A bunch of them. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit was not forgiven. In this world and in the world to come, and the Jews knew exactly what he's talking about, in this world where they're standing in, and in the world to come, called 1,000-year reign of Christ, where they go back and become the number one country in the world. The world to come, that's what they were looking for. Not the modern day ones.
No.
They don't believe it.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know.
So no. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost is rejecting it.
Blasphemy is stand against, speak against, resist.
Stand against.
push against, stand against, speak against, resist, just push aside, is blasphemy.
Is there anywhere in Scripture that you can like show people that? Because like I
Matthew 12. Yeah, who speak against the Holy Ghost? Well, the word blasphemy. Look up the Greek or the look up the English. Blasphemy is all those things. Okay. Stand against, speak against, resist, push aside. Because you're blaspheming who? God, the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said, blasphemy against the Son of Man shall be forgiven. That was Him saying, that's going to be forgiven. I forgive that. But blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? No way. No way. Because He's going to come and speak of me, and He is the third part of the Trinity. The final leg. Now, it's not a lower leg. It's just He's just part of the Trinity. And the only verse that has a Trinity verse in it, which the Trinity word's not in there, is 1 John 5:7. Every other version takes it out. It says it's not in the ancient manuscripts. Okay. Kingdom of Heaven. Now watch this. In the Kingdom of Heaven, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the Old Testaments, every time it talks about salvation, it's in future tense.
Shall be.
Shall be. When the times of oppression shall come. And Zechariah, shall be. Isaiah, shall be. Shall be. Shall be. Future tense. Peter. In 1 Peter, shall be. We shall be saved even than they. In Acts 15, we shall be saved even as they already are. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the... Now, what's this? When it talks about salvation, guess what tense is in?
Past tense.
Past tense. It's already done.
It's already done.
It's already finished. Watch this. They have to die for their faith. We have to die for our faith. Where do they die? In their physical body. Where did we die? That's exactly right. We're dead in Christ. They that hold out to the end. Hold out. We're sealed until the day of redemption. That seal, let me tell you what that seal is. It's based on the Roman seal. If you break that seal, the Roman Caesar sends out his best legion to get you and execute you upside down.
Wow.
You would be... They mutilate you to the point where you just... You want to do this again? No. I mean, anybody else want to try this? No, I don't think so. They do. They send out the best and they get you and they kill you. They crucify you upside down. You're dead meat. If you break that seal, you cannot... This seal cannot be broken. This is sealed. All right.
Here's another one.
The body of Christ is only found 18. I think it's 18 times in Romans to Philemon. The body of Christ. It's not found anywhere else in the Bible. Kingdom of Heaven is only in Matthew. And so the body of Christ is only here. We're part of a body. These people have their body resurrected on the land. We get a new body. It's already in heaven right now, sitting and waiting for us. And so when we... by the way. Here, when He comes back, He sets His foot on the earth, Christ does, on Mount Zion. Mount Zion splits apart, and then He goes to, and takes over the whole world. And He speaks, and you're gone, and you're gone. That's mean the Antichrist and the beast are gone. Take them. Clean out the earth. Angels come down with Him and clean out all that offend. Here, we meet the Lord in the air. He does not stand on the earth. And we go back up. Mm-hmm. Here, He comes down to reign on the kingdom of heaven when He comes back the second coming. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go back up because when He comes down to reign on the earth for 1,000 years, He reigns as Lord of lords and King of kings. And all the earth will bring Him their glory. And then the earth finally has the final battle of all the... it says this in Luke 16, we will not have this man rule over us. And God just sends fire down from heaven and just wipes it all out. Said, I'm going to take care of this real quick. No one's going to dishonor my son. Boom. It's over with. Pulls us aside. Everything starts melting and burning up and it's over with. then a new heaven, a new earth, with a new Israel forever, for eternity, starts. And we're not going to sit around going, oh, thank you, Lord. We're going to thank the Lord by doing things that He has prepared for us to do. In Ephesians, it says, we shall, for the ages, display His glory and tell of all the redeeming things He's done for us.
Wow.
It says, of His government there shall be no end. What do governments do? Rule over people. It expands and it rules forever. What do you think is going to be happening for all eternity? It starts increasing. People start expanding. And it just grows and grows and grows and grows. And guess what we do? We display His glory forever. And guess what happens? Clyde, go over there and tell them what I did for you. You want to hear what this our Savior did? Let me tell you. And they're going to go, wow, that's phenomenal. Because there's nothing wrong anymore. I may give a little bit, but that's what we're going to display His glory. And we're going to tell what He's done for us. It's in Ephesians, so He'll tell you that's what we're going to be doing. We're not going to be sitting around going, bring, thank you, Lord. Do you think the Creator of the heavens and earth, that gave us eyes, mouth, nose, ears, a mind to think with, is going to just have us standing here going, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. No. Guess what happened at the first creation? What did the sons of God do? They sang for joy for the creation. Do you think we're going to do anything different when God just blows it open and says, look what I'm prepared for you. It says in Psalms, at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Who's at His right hand right now?
We are.
In Christ.
In Christ.
And I guarantee you, pleasures forevermore. It is never going to stop. It gets better and better and better and better. I don't want this world system. I don't want the world's combination. I want the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't care if I have no friends. It doesn't matter. Because I know I am older, and I realize how time is passing much faster. But it doesn't matter. Paul said, I want to go be with the Lord. But it's needful for me to stay here to help build up your faith. Oh, but I really want to leave. I really want to go because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know. I don't possibly wonder. I don't hope I have a good term. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed, my life to Him, against that day, day of judgment. You know. You know that you know. If you've been saved, you know you've been saved. You trusted Christ. You know you have eternal life. You know you have hope. And when you lay down your head on your pillow, realizing that in my flesh I know that dwelleth no good thing, but He saved me in spite of that, and I have eternal life. I have, I don't know how many blessings we have, but there's probably hundreds of them. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, therefore having these promises, and then it goes on to list more of them. And Ephesians, it's all about our promises. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Watch this.
Now I'm getting jealous. Very jealous. Yeah, no kidding.
You think He wants to come back? No way. I am at complete peace and rest. And the next thought he will see is the Lord. It will be instantaneous in his mind.
Yeah, amen.
Even though he may be asleep for how long? Look at verse 20 in chapter 3. Now watch this. Now unto Him that is able to do above all that we ask or think. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power of the gospel that worketh in us. You want to get the gospel out? Claim this verse. I thought I would never, ever go out and teach this gospel. I didn't want to do this. But when I had those 30 days of Bible study, it changed my whole life. It changed my perspective. I had something to live for. I completely live for. Yeah, I have children. I want to get them saved, make sure they were saved. And on my nieces and nephews and all, they don't want to hear it, but I still had a desire to have them know it. And now, this verse just blows me away because it tells me all along the way, I couldn't even think of all the things the Lord's done for me and how He's provided along the way. It would just... Brother Derry shares some of his examples and it just blows my hair away. That's why I'm bald. It's incredible. But what he's done for me for the last 4 or 5 years as far as going and sharing the gospel of Christ, it's just phenomenal. And it can happen to anyone. There's no one that's that's not able to do what the Lord wants them or calls them to do. And it's your ministry. Nothing that I put upon you, you do what the Lord calls you to do. If you're a wife and a mother, be a wife and a mother. If you're a husband, provide for your family. Try to share along the way. But get yourself grounded in the Word of God. Once you have your feet grounded, you're able to stand on your own 2 feet. Once you know mathematics, you can tackle physics. You can. Once you understand the foundation of mathematics, you can tackle physics and go on from there. But you can't tackle calculus until you've taken algebra 1, 2, and 3, and calculus 1, or geometry and trigonometry and statistics and all the other things, too. They build up to that calculus and then quantum physics. But they can happen. It can happen with the Word of God. I think there's about 30 things I've thought about, and right now I've kind of drawn a blank of just all the things that there's differences between these two things. This is a if, then, and do. If you believe, sell everything you have and keep the law. They had to keep the law. The week before Jesus died, he said, all that the Pharisees bid you to do. What were they dispersing? The law. They were teaching the law. All that they bid you to do, do it. That's the law. Did he ever tell you to keep the law? We're dead to the law. And people say, if I can do that, then I'll just go out and sin. Then you're not saved. Because Paul never said that. And Paul said, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How that we are dead to sin shall live any longer therein. What utter fools say something like that? They don't know the Word of God and they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. That when a person is saved and knows what he's saved and trusted Christ and realizes what the Savior's done for him, do you think I want to go out there and commit adultery or all that stuff? No way. I want to see people growing up in the faith. I want you to have the joy and peace that I have. I want my friends to have the joy and peace I have. My people see it. I don't understand the peace you have. I can share it with you, but wouldn't let me. But they don't want it. Men love darkness rather than light. Men are blinded by the God of this world. And you've got to realize that. And what is the power of God to destroy the blindness of the people? 26 words. Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again for their justification. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, God can save you, that is the only thing that will break you. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Watch this. It's words, black ink on white paper, as many preachers said, and they're right.
What was that scripture?
What's that?
Romans chapter 1.
Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. So when you preach the gospel, they may not believe it the first time, but you just every time you share it, man, I just can't seem to understand. I want to try to do good. Christ died for your sins. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Christ died for your sins. He died for you. He died for me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be that simple. God made it that simple so we would have an easy way of understanding Him from the start. Things get more complex as we go along in a sense of understanding, and not hard because everything is simplistic in Christ. We make it hard. But it does, in a sense, get more complex because there's more of it. It all ties together. The more I see different things, the more I realize how they tie together. It's amazing. That's why we talk about the gospel of Christ all the time. Even though we go outside and talk about what the Lord's done and this and this and this, then it all pulls back to why it all had to happen in the first place because of the Garden of Eden when God killed an animal and Adam died in the sacrifice. Adam didn't die physically until 900 years later. But he had to die. But who died in the Garden of Eden? Two animals.
Yeah.
I don't know what they may have been lambs. But I don't know. But the two animals had to die to cover these naked bodies that were now bad flesh. Their flesh more than likely turned colors. They started becoming bleeding red. So they probably were bleeding before. It was just crystal. So But that's just speculation. But it talks about the blood of the grapes, blood, the things change that turn color. And your body, when you don't have oxygen in your blood, what colors your blood? Blue. When it hits oxygen, it turns red and starts decaying, breaking down. So it's the same thing. They were probably a different color. So Adam means red, but the flesh, the body part. But he was probably just reflecting God's glory, and it just...
Wow.
Yeah. And just probably can see right through him. I don't know. But he was perfect flesh. And when he died in the sacrifice, he lived for another 900 years, and his body decayed. The flesh before the flood was different than the flesh it is now because it changed. The ultraviolet rays, the sun was broken apart, the heavens were broken up, and the water came down. And now we have the sun as we know it today, the brightness. That's why it gets to 105 or 120 in Phoenix and whatnot. But it didn't get that way before. And that's what's going to happen during the 1,000-year reign. The people can live 1,000 years. It says in Ezekiel, if you die at age 100, you're considered a baby. So... study it. If you die at 100, you're a baby. You're considered a baby. So look at Romans 1 again. Verse 17. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then it's from faith to faith. Light received brings more light. Light rejected brings darkness. When you faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the good word of God, as you grow in the word of God, your faith will grow. Lord, increase my faith. You'll just yawn. Study the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Notice it doesn't say, go out and witness to get your approval unto God. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. As the opportunities present yourself, as you grow in the faith, you might want to say a few things. But that's up to you. That's your entirely your option. God never forced anything upon a saved person. He wants you to grow in grace. He wants you to have good works because they lead to reward, which He wants to bestow upon you and give you everything that you need and everything that you would... He wants you to have a wonderful eternal life. But it's up to you and me. What kind of glory do you want to reflect of the Lord? Do you want to be just a little pebble or a bright shining light? Just study the Word of God and let Him speak through you. Not everyone's going to be a Paul, but does that mean that Paul's going to be the brightest one in heaven? I don't know. No, not necessarily. Because some people are called to... Are all apostles? No. Are all preachers? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all evangelists? No. We have different abilities and gifts. But we all have the same Word of God. We have the same Lord and Savior. We have the same ability to share the things. And it's just do what you can do. As God leads you, not me or anyone else. We have no authority over your faith. We have nothing to condemn you with. And nothing to say you have to do. We encourage you to grow. We want you to grow. Because once you know the peace and joy that I have, you don't want to ever go back.
Right.
I have no desire to go back in the system. I don't even want to get close to it. But the system tells you need to come out and be separate. But they don't even read the passage in chapter 5 where it says, not separate from this world, for therein you're never going to tell anybody about the gospel of Christ. But separate from those who would call themselves brother and commit fornication. That's who you separate from. You separate yourself from everyone that says, I want to follow the law. Not me. Goodbye. I'm going to... It says mark them and avoid them. Get away from the unbeliever who will not acknowledge the Word of God and they may be saved. It doesn't say come out from among this world. How are we ever going to get the world to understand the gospel of Christ if we come out from among them? That is the total misnomer of every religion that says... We got to stay away from those sinners over there. If Kevin Kress, our friend in Austin, never walked down 6th Street, which is the sin capital of Austin, Texas, and of the world, he would have never ran into those two ladies out there witnessing and trying to earn their salvation and said, you know, you ladies, have you all trusted Christ? No, we're working and we're witnessing because we need to. You need to trust Christ and realize He died for your sins. What are you talking about? But if He never went on the 6th Street where usually you find people in the gutter laying around and it makes you want to puke at times because of the stench and smell of 6th Street, He would have never run into those ladies who eventually got saved. One just got married, you saw on the internet, and married another guy who got saved, and another people got saved along the way, and another couple who got saved along the way. If He hadn't gone down on 6th Street to just walk along and say, I think I'm going to find somebody to witness to. And he did. We got to stay in this world to witness and share the Lord. Become part of it. Paul said, I'm all things to all people, but not without law to Christ. I'm not going to go get drunk so I can witness the drunkards. I'm just going to go tell them the gospel of Christ. They may be on the gutter telling them, but they're still needing of salvation. It's just, think about it. We say, come out from among them. As the honor say, we need to wear a hat and do these clothes and wear it just this way. We need to wear a buggy because we want to not stand ourselves or have a buggy and not stand ourselves in this world system. What are they saying? They're better than everybody else, but they're also saying that God can't take care of them. Our God cannot help me stay clean in this world, so I have to back away and stay away from you to stay clean. My God is weak. My God is able to do all things. I can do all things through Christ, share the gospel, share it in any situation, share the word of God, because He lives within me. Do you think I'm afraid to die now? No. Do you think I'm afraid to get laughed at anymore? No. Because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know. I, just like some of you, have rejected by your family. My family won't talk to me about the gospel of Christ. What friends I had before, they wouldn't really don't want to meet with you anymore. That's all right. I got new friends. I have new people to talk to. I'm secure in the Lord, so it doesn't matter. Now, some people it does bother. I understand that, and I'm not going to condemn them. I'll encourage them. But this whole system tells you to step back, be something different, to show that we're better than you, because all you become is a Pharisee. And Pharisees were called children of the devil. Your father's the devil.
Oh. You know what? I came to that conclusion today. The reason we were taught to step back, to get away from it, is because we could not trust God.
That's right.
Our trust is terrible.
Why? Do you know what happened? You know what happened when...
Thank you, Robert.
I've told this yesterday. What happened when Barry passed away?
Yeah.
Did we say... Oh, no, they will get torn apart. No, they belong to the Lord. The Lord will take care of them. If they cling to His Word, I guarantee there's no way that wolves are going to come in and destroy you. I guarantee it. The group up in Arlington started the group because another person didn't want to stay with the truth, and so they started another little fellowship. They didn't want to. They tried for 2 years to work this thing out to get it straightened out. No. And now I drive up there. I'm not the best person to preach and share the gospel with them, but they right now it's working out to where I share, and they're growing. And they want to do something, and they want to study the Word of God. And I ask them, encourage them, and ask questions. If I don't know it, we'll study it together, we'll find the answers. We'll study this together, but I want you to be strong on your own, that you're able to teach others and not need me anymore. Because I like the hill country. It just doesn't matter. If the Lord wants me to go up to Arlington, I'll go up to Arlington. It doesn't matter. Right now, I just drive back and forth a four-hour trip each way. And it doesn't matter. What's the sharing the Word of God? It's fun to share the Word of God. And I understand now what Brother Jerry, Brother Barry, and all these other pastors have done of driving back and forth. And everyone else asks you in the world system, well, can't they go to church somewhere else? Well, yeah, they could. But they won't hear the Word of God. Well, you mean you're something special? No. I share the Word of God rightly divided. There's not a whole bunch of places that are close by. There's one about 2 hours away. And I understand it's hard for all of them to drive 2 hours back and forth and for one man to drive up there and they meet real close together. And so it's just part of sharing the gospel of Christ. I'll drive up here if I have to. But it's just, yeah. The Lord opened up the door.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think Brother Jerry drove 1,500 miles every other week to Texas before he moved out to Texas for after a year and a half?
Wow.
But guess what happened? There's a fellowship over there that's produced probably 15 preachers, mm-hmm. and they're still producing them. And they're still going out. They've got a congregation over there that when we sit down, open your Bibles, oh, come on, man, we're going to study this book because we're fervent about this book. But he keeps harping, study it for yourself. It's the Word of God. It's Romans to Philemon is your doctrine. All words for us. And Romans to Philemon is written to us, directly to you. You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the Old Testament. I just read Genesis last night. Well, I stayed up a little late for me, but it was fun again to read Genesis and the story of Joseph. I love it. And it always brings more light to more Scripture.
Huh?
Yeah. Do you realize, I shared with this yesterday, why Joseph had to go into irons and it hurt? But in Psalms 105, there's the answer why he had to do it. God sent him over there to prepare and get a people over there, because he'd already told Abraham, I'm going to have your people go into another land, and they're going to become prisoners, and then they're going to come out with wealth and everything that they have. Do you know that before Joseph, Egypt was not a rich place? And after Joseph, Egypt was the number one city, the country in the world, the most powerful, the most richest nation in the world. And God said, I'm going to plunder it when they leave. And they did. And they had to work hard, and they doubled their efforts, and they beat them and beat them and beat them, and they cried up to Moses, you meanie, you got us in trouble. And then it says in Psalms 105, when they went out, everyone was healthy, and there was not a feeble one among them, because God had to get them ready for a trip. So he doubled the exercise, doubled everything, you're going to get ready, and we go, oh man, this is hard. But what God, what does God say? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Because you, as I said yesterday,
from that perspective.
Huh?
Never saw that from that perspective.
Yeah. Why did Joseph have to go down there? Because he's fixing to send a famine, and Joseph was the one that could interpret dreams. Joseph would be the only one that would hold out to temptation. Judah failed. Reuben, his oldest son, went into his father's wife. They all had faults in the character. Joseph was the man that would have the character stand up to Potiphar's wife and hold out, even if it meant going back to jail. God knew that. Joseph was the man. Joseph got two blessings, inheritance, instead of, and one of them got lost theirs. And so, because of Joseph's faithfulness in the land, and Joseph was honored because of that.
All we're asked
to
do is be faithful.
That's it. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Mm-hmm. It has not failed yet. And if it does, I'll write a book and it'll be a millionaire, but it's not going to happen. Because God's going to be faithful all along the way. Well, the Bible says in many places, rejoice in the Lord always. Why does it say always?
In every dimension.
All along the way. Always is all the time. That's the King James Bible is phenomenal. In sample and example. In samples, plural. In samples, singular. Examples, plural. Well, I didn't know that. I studied a little bit of English, and old English, and wow, the Lord got real specific on this. Thee is singular, ye is plural. Jesus said unto Nicodemus, I say unto thee, one guy, ye, all of you have to be born again. And when's that? The resurrection. You're going to be resurrected one day. You're going to go, boom, there you are on the earth. And so it's just going to happen, resurrection. Can a nation be born one day? Now, 1 John 1:9, as you saw, is if then. If you confess your sin, if you do it, then I'll cleanse you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Does, in the body of Christ, are you ever told to confess your sins?
Nope.
Never.
They're already taken care of.
They're all taken care of. There's no sins to take care of. Our sin nature now, when we do things wrong, is reward or no reward. The works. Mm-hmm. Everything we do now is good works. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to wrap this up because I know you guys need to get some rest. Chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, watch this. For by grace are we saved through faith. No. Mm-hmm. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It says in Romans, the Gentiles be saved through faith. The Jews will be saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What parent would take a gift away? Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And we should walk in them, or we must walk in them.
Should.
It's all your option. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Or Philippians, I'm sorry. Turn to Philippians. Look at verse 6 of chapter 1. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, the rapture. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. do all things without murmuring and disputings. Now look at verse chapter.
What verse in chapter 1 did you read first?
That was one verse 6. There's more. I was going to look at Colossians chapter. I believe it's. I'm just drawing blank right now. Look at verse chapter 3. Now here's Colossians chapter 3. Here's our final attitude. Verse 17, 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Look in verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now, in Ephesians 5:18, it says, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My last thing is think about this. Parents who have children who are grown now, when they were growing up, when they said, thanks, Dad, what did it do for you? Oh, thanks. They recognize what we've done for them. Thank you, Mom. That was a great meal. And it was sincere from the heart. Even one of the little children, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Thank you. That's so wonderful. Wonderful words to hear. After that, do you want to take them over and start spanking them? No. What do you want to do? Come on, let's have some more good times together. It's just that's how we are. Do you think God's any different? When we thank Him for our situation, and it says in everything give thanks, does that mean good or bad or all? In all your situations. Lord, I don't understand why I'm driving 2.5 hours to go up the temple to work when I could be working in San Marcos, when I could walk to work and save money and save gasoline. But I give you thanks anyway. I praise your name for it because there's something I don't know. 2 days later, it's 105 degrees. I would have been outside in the dirt, in the mud, working in the underground utilities, and I would have probably passed out and died of heart attack or something because I'm a little bit older than the other guys. And I'm up in temple working with some other guys I'm fixing to talk to about the gospel in the air conditioning in a nice clean place and not breathing hazardous dust. I think I was thanking the Lord for that. and thanking Him that He knew the situation. Well, needed a little extra cash for some things, and I'm not down in San Marcos working 40 hours a week. I'm up in Austin working 60 hours a week. And 70 hours a week, and still I have time to study and get the gospel out and go to Arlington, and I'm thanking the Lord for it because my income just doubled because I got to take care of some things I need to take care of. Thank you, Lord. I know that you know that this 1 hour drive and this 1 hour drive, 1.5 hour drive back home is all right because I'm still listening to CDs, but I earned the money to pay for some things along the way I needed to take care of. He knew exactly what I needed along the way. Next week, or when I get back, I'm going to work in San Marcos and walk to work and start working out because I'll have a lot more time on my hands. Who knows? I may go up to Arlington, Texas and start the ministry in full swing. I don't know. I'm just thinking about it right now. But it doesn't matter. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Because it tells God, I'm trusting in you, not me. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to thank you for the situation. Yeah. I'm going to thank you, Lord, that I got a blood clot and wanted to kill myself. And I realized I was so depressed and I just wanted to wipe things off. And I just said it and I sat in the car when I was fixing to pick up my medicine. Lord, I don't understand the situation. I don't understand why that blood clot got stuck. But I'm going to thank you for it. I sat in my car in front of the Walgreens thing when I was fixing to pick up my medicine. And I had insurance for a change. I went in there, and the lady said, "Boy, this is a good medicine. Do you know how much it costs per shot?" I had 60 of them. How much? $300 per shot. And the insurance paid every penny of it. And I sat in the car and thanked the Lord. I said, "Lord, I thank you for my situation. I don't understand it." Well, I started staying, as I said, in a house. I went to a Bible study because I couldn't do anything else for 30 days. I was off a leave of absence with pay. And I got to go to 30 days of Bible study. And 8 to 10 hours every night after the Bible study, I studied what we studied and studied it and studied it and studied it and studied it for 30 days. And when I went back to work, I kicked the door open of the place and said, "I'm back and watch out." And then what happened, I didn't realize I'd changed. I didn't realize I wasn't depressed anymore. But I was happy. I went in and everyone noticed, "What happened to you?" And as I said yesterday, I wish I could tell you I got saved again, but I was already saved, but I learned what it meant to rightly divide the word of truth. Would you be interested? Some were, some weren't. Amen. But I was able to share it. This was only 7 months since I started seeing the rightly dividing the word of truth. Did I answer every question? No. Did I get a little defensive? Yeah. There's the times because I didn't have the answers yet. And sometimes it took a little more time. And I thought I was going to be ready in another 4 years to teach Bible study. And at the end of that, towards the end of that year, my friend volunteered me for a Bible study. When I got to church, another guy said, "Hey, Clyde, I just heard you're going to do a Bible study in South San Antonio." "I am?" And I said, "Yeah, you're, do you know anything about it?" "No, but I am." And then Robert came up and said, "Oh, Clyde, I don't need to explain it to you." I said, "Don't worry about it. If the Lord's ready for me, it'll work out. If not, then we'll know it's not the right time." So I went down there. It was my first Bible study to teach away from everybody I knew. And I was shaking in my boots, sitting down. And I taught for 4 hours. Sitting down. There was about six people there. One was uninterested. One was interested and got saved, but his wife was not saved, and she wanted us out of there in 2 weeks. But there was this three people sitting to my right, two of them I knew from the church, who had just started attending the fellowship up there in New Braunfels. The lady sitting next to her was about 61 or 2. The stress on her face said, "I am in stress above, beyond recognition." Yeah, I could read it all over her face. She was so stressed out for the situation at home. I watched with my eyes as I shared the stuff in the Word of God, and I saw light come to her eyes. She had hope, just as I did. She started having hope, and I saw the sparkle come up. Well, the next week they came back, and she was ready with that Bible and notepad, and she was starting to, the stress was still there, but she started seeing light and seeing the sparkle was starting to happen. Well, they asked us not to come back anymore. The guy was saved, but his wife, "I have to keep peace in the house." So we went over to the couple's house who lived next door to the lady with stress. He didn't want to come, the husband, but they came. And they invited people, and finally a few came. Some stayed 1 or 2 weeks, and the rest didn't. And it ended up just being those three people. So I taught. The first Bible study went from 7 p.m. till 1 in the morning. The next week, the same type of thing, just like y'all had a few times here. They were so excited to hear the Word of God. The man of that couple that started going to church gave up and gave his testimony. And I looked at another guy in the congregation. We were both thinking the same thing. I wonder if he's really saved. Well, later on, as he grew more in the Word, he just didn't know how to communicate it because he had grown up around a charismatic church after he got saved, which just talked about, woo-hoo-hoo, jump around, run around the pews, and literally run around the church. That's what he was used to. Then he learned how to communicate it with a third grade education, and talk to him today, and you would think, this guy is pretty sharp. But he ended his education in third grade. I watched this man grow and grow and grow, and now he walks the streets of South San Antonio just going, "Come on, let's talk. Anybody." He's able to whack them if they have bad doctrine, but he shares the gospel just walking up down the streets. And then I got, not booted, because of the situation, I didn't go to my Bible study for 3 weeks in a row, and I think, "Lord, what's going on?" All of a sudden, my work's interfering with the Bible study. I called up a guy three times in a row. "Wayne, can you go to my Bible study? Can you teach me?" "Yeah, yeah." Boom, boom. Guess what? The other guy that didn't come started coming. He had started coming with me there, but he was kind of, I could still see he's not understanding this. He goes three Bible studies with Wayne, and then Brother Johnny comes and tells me, "Brother Clyde, I think we need Wayne to do this Bible study." I said, "That's fine. What's happened? Brother understood the gospel?" He said, "Yeah, I think he got saved." Because Wayne explained it in terms he could understand, mechanical and science terms. He was fascinated by that. Wayne will fascinate you with that stuff. And the guy understood. They still attend to this day. The spark was in his eyes because God worked his wonders through his word, through his people at the time. And I'm glad to step aside and let this other man share the gospel of Christ in order for this other guy to get saved, who in turn invited some other people who came up and got saved after the fellowship. So do you see, his ways are not our ways? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine understanding. I didn't understand why I didn't get to go down to the Bible study for 3 weeks in a row. God did. He had another man prepared to go share in such a way where he would understand. It's just how it is. Mark Rumfield showed one time that he had been preparing to go down to preach a wedding, and he looked forward so he was going to be able to share the gospel with all these people. And towards the end, right before the wedding was happened, his mother got sick and was dying of cancer, And all of a sudden, it looked like she was going to die right before the wedding. So they prepared for a backup preacher, just in case he couldn't go. And sure enough, she died right before the wedding. He was supposed to go over to Florida to preach with all these people to hear the gospel of Christ. He thought he was going to have a wonderful time sharing the gospel of Christ, but now he had to stay there and do their funeral. Well, lo and behold, our ways are not God's ways. There was a man in the fellowship who was in bad health, worse than they all knew. And he was in the Sunday morning service. And Mark started just preaching the gospel of Christ. He said, I just had a simple message that way. And he said, you can know you have eternal life and know that you for sure that you have it. And Randy in the audience said, I sure hope so. And Mark just said, Randy, how come you said that? I hope I could know. And then from then on, it was between Randy and Mark in the service. Randy, do you understand that? Yes, I do. And as Christ died for you, it's a sinner, and he saved you if you would just trust him. And he said, it's simple belief. Do you trust and rest in that fact? Yes, I do. Now, do you know? Yes, I do. I know I have eternal life now, and I have peace.
Amen.
This is in the service.
Wow.
Hey. Why was he supposed to stay there? Because he and Randy are supposed to have the interaction. He gets saved. He dies just a few months later. And Mark did his funeral at a place where it would be just like the Amish. It was these fiery Pentecostals who have no hope of eternal life because they work for their salvation. And Mark preached the gospel simple and clear. And there was not one amen. There was not one hallelujah. And before that, they were going, amen, hallelujah. And Mark preached the gospel quite simple. And there was no amens. The preacher was over there gritting his teeth and enduring the torture. Because what was going on? What spirit was in that man? That's exactly right. It was the spirit of disobedience. Because when you hear someone get saved, what do you do now? We rejoice on the inside. That's great news. What happens when the Satan loses another one? He's mad. And the preacher was mad. The wife was mad. All of his family was mad because Randy was not a good man. And he couldn't be saved. He did bad things. Well, Randy got saved. They wanted justice, and God gave Randy mercy and saved him. So he's saved. And he's at rest and peace. So with this in mind, it's study to show thyself approved unto God. Take little verses. Read little passages. Don't try to consume the whole thing at one time. Break it back and forth. What do you think about Ephesians 1? What do you think about Ephesians 2? What do you think about Ephesians 3? Just discuss a chapter. And just look at the wording. In fact, read it real slow. Look at that verse in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Read it real slow like this.
The Gospel of John.
John chapter 3. It says, verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, how many is that? One, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, comma, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That makes sense. And that which is born of the Spirit is little s, spirit. Marvel not, now watch this, that I say unto thee, comma, what's the next word? Ye must be born again. Every other translation changes all those two things. I say unto you, you must be born again.
Mm.
Now the confusion comes in. The confusion is not there when you see thee and then ye. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Well, Paul was saved. Why didn't he say, for by grace are we saved through faith? Because in Romans chapter 8, the Jews are saved by faith and the Gentiles are saved through faith. We have no hope. They had the hope of the Scriptures by the faith, and the faith of the Word of the God. We had no hope. It's through faith, and that faith not of ourselves. It's the faith of Christ. They had the Word of God. If you read it, in fact, here's a suggestion. Go thirds, 1, 3, 5, 7, read those verses. Then go back and read 2, 4, 6, 8. Then read chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 5 type of things. Then read it backwards. Jerry told me to read this, do it that way, and watch what happens. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It just, I thought it would be, well, this is all jumbled. No, it pulled it together even tighter. I couldn't believe it. read it that way.
You take a book and do that.
Take Ephesians 1, 3, 5, 2, 4, 6. Read verse 1, verse 3, verse 5, verse 7. Read 2, 4, 6, 8. Just try anything and watch it never be confusing. It all pulls together. He said, stand up and read it to yourself 20 times. I did it. I recorded myself. He said, try to read it over 200 times. Well, in my other Bible, I read it over 2,000 times. But I read it 200 times over and over and over. Backwards, forwards, back and forwards. And every time it just got tighter and tighter and tighter, like a transmission coming together. It never got confusing. And that's how I learned it. And then I listened to other people preach and share the Word of God. And they didn't care if you were a brand new Christian. What do you think about Ephesians 2:2 or whatever? That sounds great. What do you think? And then just go back and forth, trying to find somebody who else wants to share the Word of God. It don't care if you have 20 years or 2 years or 1 month or 2 days. It doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. God will teach us through the Spirit if we're willing to listen. There's a book out in the market that says, when you believe it, it shall come, or it shall happen. And it's the same thing with the Bible. It actually is part of the Proverbs. Is when you believe the Word of God, then He'll open it up to you. It's not going in there, I'm going to try to open this thing up and then believe it. No, believe it first. For we walk by faith. The middle verse of the Paul's epistles is 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says this, for we walk by faith. The middle verse. Comma, not by sight.
So this might be at the end.
And guess what it's in? Parentheses.
Oh my word.
Huh? It's my faith. Parentheses.
Where is it?
2 Corinthians 5:7. Look at the middle verse of the Bible. Turn to Psalms 118. Psalm 118. Look at the middle verse of the Bible.
Verse is
the middle verse of Paul's epistle. You take all the verses to the left, all the verses to the right. That's the one in the middle. Right there in the middle. How obscure is this? But yet that's the whole premise of our salvation. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by faith of having something on our head or having a beard on our face or whatever it might be. I'm not trying to mock this thing, but the Baptists did the same thing. If you drove a Cadillac, you weren't a Baptist. You were too highfalutin. You had to drive a Buick or below. That's how we grew up. It was silly. Nonsense. You were considered rich, and rich people don't go to heaven. Look at verse 8, Psalms 118, verse 8. This is the middle verse of the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Same thing as that.
Well, that's what my faith. Yeah, that's true. It's trust in the Lord. That's just some of the things about the King James Bible and it, the Word of God, the little fun things you can learn. It's better to trust, put your confidence in God, or for trust in God than put your confidence in man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, I think it's verse 20. It's guard thy heart with, or watch thy heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Watch your heart. I'm telling you, people are looking to steal your joy. And if you will cling to the Word of God, you may not have all the answers. And don't give up if you run into a question and somebody throws you a curve and says, it looks like they're right and I'm wrong. Trust the Lord and trust His Word. It'll answer itself. It'll answer itself. It will answer itself. There have been many times I had, I don't understand this one, Brother Jerry. He said, give it time and here's what... Think about this, go study it, and I'd go back and think about it, study it, and chew it up a little bit, and get it settled in my mind. It didn't happen overnight. There are still a few verses I just, wow, this is phenomenal. And then tying it together different ways, whoa, that's even better. And then I'll see something over there in Jeremiah or whatnot, in chapter 4 where it says the first creation, boom, all this other stuff, and on and on it goes. Here's another one. Go find this one for yourself. About the Lord and His hair. They used to cut His hair. It's in Jeremiah. He used to get a haircut. And all pictures, what do they portray Him as? Long hair. What does Paul say? It's a shame for a man to have long hair?
Uh-huh.
You think the Lord is any different? They say He was a Nazarite. No, He was a Nazarene. he didn't take the Nazarite vow. The Nazarite vow is to cut your complete, have your hair long. Well, there's two men in the Bible that were Nazarites and had that long hair. Samson, he died because of his hair. Absalom, he died because of his hair. They both died because of their hair. Yeah.
He had taken the vow?
Huh? Absalom had taken that vow? Yeah, so now he had the long flowing hair. It had shekels of weight. It weighed heavy. There's only one people that did, only one person that did that as a Nazarite vow.
Yeah, so, I always thought that was why Jesus had long hair, because he was Nazarene.
He was a Nazarene. He was from Nazareth, not a Nazarite vow.
Oh, okay.
It was a Nazarite vow. It's a type of vow that you don't cut your hair.
Where
does
it say
that
he had long hair?
It just says that you find. There's called a Strong's Concordance or Blue Letter Bible on one of the, there's several search engines on how to search the scriptures. Just type in the word hair and watch it pop up all of them.
Blue Letter Bible.
Yeah, it's fast. And there's a couple others that are real good, Gateway or whatever. But to get and look, I pulled up the phrase, the grace of God. Boom, 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 boom. And the first one is the Lord Jesus Christ when he was a little toddler. And then the last one is when he went to hell, and by the grace of God, he tasted death for every man. And in between all those graces of God, you think, wow, this is what that grace of God means, that benefit, that favor, that mercy, all that packed in that one word, the grace of God. And guess where it's found mostly?
Romans
to Philemon, or with the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's three or four times, I think it's two times where Jesus and Barnabas was seeing the grace of God going on, and the rest of it's with us. And it's... yes, they have grace, but they still have to keep the law and hold out to the very end. But God gives them, they're baptized with the Holy Spirit to have that special anointing to endure to the end. We're not equipped that way. We have to study to show thyself approved. And if you study real carefully, you'll see that the women weren't baptized.
You mean like water baptized?
They were not water baptized.
Really?
In Acts chapter 8 is the first mention, and they also baptized women. And you notice it's outside Jerusalem, and Peter and John have to go to Samaria to pray for them to receive the Holy Ghost because they were doing everything wrong. They believed what Philip had to say about the Lord Jesus, and they were baptized in the name of Jesus, and the women were also baptized. Wrong thing, it's men because they're going to be priests and priests for the Lord.
Huh.
When it says in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized, everyone even in the name of Jesus, who's Peter talking to?
Jews.
Specifically?
Male.
Men. Three times a year the men are supposed to appear before the Lord in the temple. This was the second time of the year they appeared before the Lord at Pentecost. The second time. All the devout men of Israel, it says, men and brethren, men of Judea, men. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. They were responsible for their women. They were to be baptized, not the women.
Huh.
Is a woman going to be a priest in the Lord's temple?
No.
Absolutely. I'm not trying to demean anything, but who's going to be responsible for the priesthood? Men.
Yeah.
And they're going to be responsible, but they're going to have an unction from the Lord to carry out the purpose. And they're going to go to the whole world and preach to every Jew that is still out there, and teach the whole world who this person is over in this kingdom is, and the whole world is going to go, wow, we want to go see him. But it's men. It says, let only men speak in tongues. If any man speak in tongues, it doesn't say any woman or any mankind, it says any man. Then it says, let your women keep silence in the churches. As we said yesterday, what's the biggest pusher of tongues in the charismatic churches? It's women. Seed women. And women have intuition.
Uh-huh.
But who's deceived?
Uh-huh.
Women are. Because it's based on intuition, and it could be influenced by emotions.
You didn't tell them what that lady said. A woman got up and claimed to
speak. Well, Jerry was with a friend of his over in the Philippines. A missionary was in Philippines missionaries over in the States. Two people from the Philippines came over, also Americans who were in the Philippines too, being the charismatic missionaries. They came over, they all sat together, introduced each other, how you doing? It's good to these Philippines, El Filipino. And said, we're going to eat, let's pray. The lady missionary says, well, I'm going to pray in tongues if you don't mind. Another lady gets up and stands up.
I don't know who you are, but you just cursed my Lord in my native tongue.
In your tongue speaking. You just cursed my Lord. Get away from me. You just cursed my Lord in my native tongue. This lady's just in tongues. You don't think there's an evil spirit? I guarantee you. He's at every door. He's looking for the crack in your armor. But as long as you keep your nose in that book, God will protect you. I don't give a flip where you're at in your growth. God will not allow His people to suffer if they stick to the book. That's all you have to do is just commit yourself. It's subjecting yourself to the book. For instance, I've submitted myself to this book. Whatever it says to me, I'm going to obey. I shared this with a long time ago, and I went to a Bible study substituting for Brother Jerry, and they asked me, oh man, would you teach on this subject? And I knew why I was being asked, because of one man and his wife and all these problems going on. I said, okay, I'm going to share the Word of God, what the Word of God says. And so I shared it for 2 hours. There was a couple there that had had their house burned down with fire. The lady had been coming before to a Bible study about 2 years earlier and disrupted the Bible study. And she stopped coming. They didn't want her to come anymore. You're disruptive. Leave us. They came back as a result of this other couple who held the Bible study. And she had to be, man, you're causing too much trouble here. But when the fire happened, this couple took them a basket of things you need right now. Toothpaste, deodorant, towels, things to get started, just because they had nothing. Everything burned up in the fire. Well, that couple who lost their house in fire came back to this Bible study. They didn't ask the question. Someone else asked the question for her because they were having some problems. And I said, it comes down to, are you willing to submit yourself to the Word of God? I am, and I don't give a flip what happens to me. I'm willing to do so. This man was not willing to do so. He and his wife have been having problems ever since. I shared it simply what the Word of God says. If you'll do it, this couple who had the house burned down submitted themselves to the Word of God. They still come to the Bible studies. They get people to come. They have a wonderful marriage. And it's just phenomenal what the Lord's doing through them. And He's one of my favorite friends. And I've preached in such a way as, I don't give a flip if you believe this or not. I'm going to teach the Word of God. This guy who had the house burned down came and said, my name's George. I enjoyed your thing. That was the first time he had ever come to anything like this. He said, I've never heard this stuff before. I'm going to be back. And he's been back ever since. That was about 5 years ago. This couple who indirectly asked the question, they stopped having the Bible study in their home. You talk about problem after problem after problem because he will not submit himself to the Word of God. I'm going to do it my way. She's been begging for him to do that. And I don't even know if they're even together anymore. It's such turmoil every time I get around it. It's simply submitting yourself to the Word of God. He will take care of you. He'll take care of your marriage. He'll take care of your family. He'll take care of your children. He'll take care of you if you're willing to submit yourself to the Word of God. Simply submit yourself to it. I don't care about your work. God will take care of that too. If you need another job, God will take care of it. As I said, my situation, I thought I was getting set up to get fired. God was getting me set up to get moved sideways to another shift to get this other person over to the church who got saved. And then it just kind of dominoed. Then he went to a thing. Then his wife got back together in this marriage conference that Steve Atwood did. It was phenomenal. I never knew that was going to happen. But the Lord took care of everything. I was over in Houston last year, and work's just run out. Electrical work. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I don't have any work. My brother doesn't have any more work. There's no work going in Houston right now. I'm an inexperienced electrician. I'm never going to get hired. I submitted my application over there to the Hill Country just thinking I could get 1 day of work. I got 1 day of work. I thought it was supposed to be 2 weeks. I went over there, did the work. Oh, sorry, it's just for 1 day. Oh, man. Well, they were so impressed, they sent a letter to the place who hired me. It was a temporary agency. He did a great job for us, and we would recommend him any place, anytime, anywhere. Well, I went back to Houston. I'm staying in another place, kind of watching it for just a short time. I get a call back and said, can you come interview for this different type of job? I said, yeah, I need to work. I need to go back to work. So I go over there to interview for this job. It sounded like it was going to start the next day. I get over there and interview, talk to them. Say, oh, yeah, it's going to start in June. Oh, man, I need work now. So I was staying at the Ellison's house anyway, just kind of revisiting with them and all. I get a phone call at 5 till 5. Hey, we just got a call over for Seguin. They need an electrician to go over there and help this project finish for a week. Would you mind doing it? That's pretty good per hour. I'll take it. So, I need some work. I do it. I left my tools at home, but I went over there. I didn't need them the first day anyway. I went over there, and it was going to be 2 weeks. 2 weeks turned to 1 month. 1 month turned into 3 months, and I'm still working with the company today. It's been over about a year and all, and the benefits keep rolling in as far as the work is concerned, and you don't think the Lord don't take care of things along the way. But I submitted myself to that book. I don't care where he takes me now. It's getting more to be more and more and more fun. And I get to meet new people. A long time ago, I had a dream of doing this. Going from place to place, sharing the Word of God, building people up, getting them strong to where they could take care of themselves and go to another place. Guess what I'm doing? That's right now. I was doing a dream I had years and years ago. And I love it. Yes. I always wanted to... My question was always this. Why do we, in the Baptist church, if a person gets saved, they join the church. Okay, you can sing, choir. Your husband can do this. He can teach. And just throw them in the fire. Just get them busy. Well, they're new Christians. They need to know who they are in Christ. At least I knew that part. And we just throw them in there and put evidence after about 2 years. I'm tired of this business of being there every day and every Sunday and every Tuesday and every day. I want to enjoy my family. And they quit. And I thought, what if we, like Paul, and I thought he just went to time, and he just went back to building people up and strengthen them. What about someone doing that? You know what I'm doing? It's blows me away. But rightly dividing the truth shows me that I had the final answers to give it to people through the Word of God that says when I'm through, they don't need me ever again. They have the Word of God. They know how to rightly divide it. And boom, the guy who took my place this past weekend, And I left with confidence knowing he was going to take care of it. This is only his third time to speak. But the second time, the first time he gave his testimony. Oh, the Lord saved me. And it was so good. Oh, thank you. I'm going to sit down. The second time, he was shaking like that. But he shared a Bible study, and it was really good. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And so I said, I'm going to go over here and speak with these people. We can either not meet the Sunday, or y'all can take care of it. And Gary said, I'll take the first hour. And Brother Bill said, I'll take the second hour. And they took care of it.
Wow.
Because they said, I have the confidence now. Well, we didn't laugh at him because he shared the Word of God in a simplistic way. It's the Word of God. It was all correct. Yeah, it's good. It reinforced what we already knew. And then he actually pulled a few things. I said, wow, I never thought about it that way. And this is only the second time to teach the Word of God. And then... It's like Pete Badillo. He came to our fellowship in California. He was moving over to Texas to get out from the influence of California, which was just going down the tubes back then. And he said, I hope we can find a church over there in Texas to meet and find out where the Word of God is. Well, his captain was just retiring, and he was preaching, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. He had led Pete to the Lord about 2 years earlier. And he said, y'all hear you're going to Texas, Sergeant. Where are you going to go? Well, we're thinking about somewhere around San Antonio. How about New Braunfels? It's a beautiful place. There's a church there that teaches the Bible rightly divided. He said, really? I think I might like to try that. Well, they came the first week, and he said, this is where we need to be. Well, he told me this later. I'm sitting up on the second row, and of course, anytime Jerry asks a question, I'll answer it. He said, man, you see that big old guy up there? He answers all the questions. Why don't you ask him a question? Not me. He'll beat me up. And I'm just a teddy bear. I'll talk with anyone. And he thought we were all spiritual giants. And I thought, no, we're just people who have listened to the Word of God. Well, guess what he did for 2 years? He studied and listened and studied and listened. Then he taught one Wednesday night. And it was good. And guess what he just finished up for a whole year and a half? Teaching over in Houston, driving back and forth. He teaches everywhere now. He loves it. Dwayne, he's a physical therapist. He's good friends in the Lord. I tell you what, don't ever try to cross him with a snippet answer about the Lord, because he will eat you alive with the Word of God if you're trying to dismantle the Lord. But if you want to know about the Bible and share it, he'll happily share you with the Word of God. Well, he had this patient he was working on physical therapy who's a dentist. And, of course, when you have a person working on the arm and you have control of them, said, do you know the Lord? Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Well, yeah, I'm saved. When did you trust Christ? He's working on his hands the whole time. He's a dentist, 70-something years old. And he said, well, I trusted Christ back then, but I've given up on trying to find the answers because no one seems to know what the Bible really means. Dwayne says his arm. Why don't you let me tell you? We'll start talking. Well, he started listening, and he went home and told his wife, said, I don't believe that. That's crazy. And so she came up there during his time to listen while he was being worked on with his hand. Dwayne explained the Word of God. I don't believe that, but it says it right here. And then he would go back home, and they'd argue about it at home. Then he'd come back again for the next treatment. Guess who comes to the service?
His wife
and him and their son, their daughter-in-law, their son, and on down the line. Guess what started in Wimberley? A Bible study where this dentist practices, and Dwayne also practices. They have a phenomenal Bible study up there now, who also reached a bunch of other people. There was one lady that came to the clinic when I was helping Dwayne one summer, and this husband was nearing the time to go be with the Lord. They were saved, but Dwayne knew they had no peace because they went to a Baptist church. And he was talking with him and sharing about the seal of the Spirit, how that we're saved to the very end. And the man finally had the hope. You know what? That's phenomenal. I know I'm saved, and now I know I'm saved to the very end. He died 2 weeks later. Guess what his wife said? He died at peace. He finally had peace. He was 70-something years old and finally had peace. It was amazing what the Lord is continuing to do. Dwayne said, you know, I love going to the fellowship, but I just feel like I need to get out and share the Word with people. I know what you mean, Dwayne. He's the one that teaches the Austin Bible study where all these freaks of Austin got saved at and go to. And we call them freaks. They call themselves freaks, but they're just wonderful people who love the Lord, who look a little different, but the Lord's correcting those things. There's one lady in our Bible study. Don't get a magnet around her face, they'll start pulling because he has all this metal in her face. Guess what's starting to disappear from her face?
Metal.
All the metal. I haven't said a word about it. All I do is teach the Word of God. She decided on her own, you know what? This is just not honoring to the Lord. On her own. They had a baby and said, you know what? I'm going to raise this baby in the admonition of the Lord. No, I'm talking about the metal spikes and all this other nonsense.
I was thinking she must have had surgery with all these metal. I was trying to put this all together.
Well, it's through the eyebrows, it's through this, it's through all over, and it's just...
Like
just
piercings.
Piercings. Yeah. It's not as bad as what you see, but it's a... Watch it! Toss a maggot toward her face. Not anymore. It's the Word of God.
Yeah.
The young man who she's married to is so on fire for the Lord. Man, if I can ever get him directed to the Word. He says, oh, this is fantastic. I was in such bondage. How old are you? 20 years old, but I was in bondage. I can't believe it. It's so evil. Guess how many people he's told? Probably 10. Guess how many of 10? All 10 of them have come through. 3 of them got saved. Now, I just tell you what. You trust the Word of God, watch it work. It's not going to be 2,000, 3,000, be one here, two there, one here, one there. Your family, your little cousin, this nephew, your husband, whatever it might be. Just trust the Lord. The Lord will take care of it. And take care of everything. So, anyway, that's all I have. Any questions? Anybody have any questions?
What is that verse found that he says, or that the Spirit talks to us through His Word? Where is that verse found?
Speaks to us through His Word.
He mentioned it earlier. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you were saying that when a person blasphemes the Bible is when they... Or
blasphemes
the Spirit is when they reject His Word.
Right.
And
okay, turn over to Matthew chapter 12. I'll show you. Now, here's the definition for blasphemy in English. To resist, to speak against, to push against, to push aside against, directly lie against.
Yeah.
That's the word blasphemy.
Yeah.
Guess what it means in Greek? The same thing. Look at Matthew 12. Alright. Chapter 12. Verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. But who did Jesus Christ cast him out by? His own power. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan be cast out, Satan is divided against itself, and on and on. All right, look at verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto man, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now it doesn't say speaking or resisting, it says blasphemy. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, what is Jesus full of? Yeah, exactly right. It says in chapter 4 of, I believe it's Mark, he is, in Luke, he's full of the Spirit. And then when he's through with the temptation, comes back in the power of the Spirit. Now, watch this. Turn over to Acts chapter chapter 7. Let me turn to Acts. I'm in Corinthians. That's why I wasn't familiar. Hold 7, just turn to 4 real quick. Here's the first instance of everyone else besides apostles to get the Holy Spirit. And verse 31 of chapter 4 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Now, watch this. Chapter 7, verse 1. "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, the Greeks against the Hebrews, Grecians, because their widows were being neglected in the daily administration." That would be normal. The Jews would be first, and the Greeks, "Oh, there's no food for you, sorry." Then the 12, chapter 1, verse 1, I'm sorry, 6-2 now. "Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves and on and on." And verse 5, "And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." Now look at verse 8. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." And verse 10, "They were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake." And look at verse...
So what Spirit was that?
That was the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, now, think about this. He's full of the Holy Spirit, but when you have such a power working through you, what do you usually say? Man, he's got a strong spirit. Well, his strong spirit is completely submerged by the Holy Spirit. It's in subjecting to the Holy Spirit, so his spirit's just saying, boom, let's go wherever the Holy Spirit goes. That's his spirit talking, but the Holy Spirit's working right through him. They're almost one and the same in a sense that he is totally submitted to the Word of God. But look what he said, verse 8, full of faith and power. And in verse, it says 5, it says he's full of the faith and full of the Holy Ghost. What was Jesus full of? Full of the Holy Ghost. When they criticized him for doing his work in the power of Satan, what were they criticizing? The Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Verse 10 of chapter 6 says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom of the Spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, they bribed men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses, against God. And they stirred up the people, elders, called him, brought him before the council, on down the line. And all that," verse 15, "and all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Who was in that group looking at him? Saul. He's there looking at him. The priest said, "All these things hath so." And he goes on and on for 50-something verses. Look at verse 51. This is Stephen speaking. He's speaking 50-something verses about this. "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of your fathers have not your prophets have you not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which show before the coming of the just one," capitalized, "of whom you have become now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with the teeth. That means they were gnawing their teeth. That he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. There's a reason why he's standing. And said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they screamed, hollered, and killed him. And verse 58, and they cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And verse 1 of chapter 8, and Saul is consenting unto his death, and there arose a great persecution against the church. He's blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Do you have another chance to receive Christ? No, not according to this gospel. Now turn to Timothy chapter 1.
Sit down
on
that table
if you're tired. I'm fine. 12 of 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I did obtain mercy. I'm sorry, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Those two words put together produce prototype. The Greek words. That's where we get prototype, the first of its kind. The first one that's built to everything follows after the same model. When you build a prototype at GM or Ford or whatever, you build a model, and if it works just like we want it to, every other model is built like that same exact one. Prototype. He's the prototype.
Wow.
This is where this word comes from.
The grace believer.
He's the first of the kind. But he was saved almost a year after Peter, James, and John started preaching the gospel. But he says, in me first. Very first one. For a pattern to come after. And it says over in Acts chapter 9, when he saw the Lord, he says he was trembling and astonished. He's a Pharisee. He knows Isaiah backwards and forwards. He knows the law. He was worthy of death. And it says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against all these pricks of everything I'm setting up. You're hitting against the church and you're not winning. And he said, I am Jesus. And in his mind, every domino started clicking. Oh no, I have blew it. I have committed blasphemy. He knew he did. He knew by the Old Testament. What was the offense for calling using God's name in vain as far as the Ten Commandments were concerned? What was the penalty?
Stoning?
Yeah, stoning to death. Killing. For blasphemy against God's name. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit was punishable by death. So Paul, trembling and astonished. Trembling, he's with fear. Astonished, he's not dead.
Mm-hmm.
Trembling and astonished. What will you have me to do, Lord? Go to this such a place and I'm going to tell you what you want to do. Because you're going to suffer for my name's sake. But I'm going to show you things you don't even know. I mean, he didn't say that, but he says that's exactly what he meant. So it's going to happen.
So why didn't he die instantly? Like, shouldn't he?
Yes.
God had mercy on him.
Grace and mercy. Why does Paul start every letter? Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, to the church, grace and peace.
I know.
Because it was showed unto me first, grace and mercy. I should have been dead. Yes, the chief of all sinners. I should have been whacked. But he had mercy and grace upon me, trembling, astonished. Oh, he's not going to kill me? Mercy.
Wow.
We want justice. That murderer, that pedophile, we want justice. Whacking.
Uh-huh.
Well, in the flesh, maybe he needs to be whacked. But is God showing justice or mercy?
Mercy.
Mercy. Even the worst of sinners can get saved. Yes, they should pay for their sins in jail if they've hurt children or whatnot, but they can still get saved. And we want them saved. Would you rather have a bunch of saved people in jail and the guards would have a safer life there?
Exactly.
Of course. And there would be peace and our tax dollars may go down a little bit and they wouldn't destroy the jails all the time? Sure. And I really want them saved because to know the peace. Think about what questions you have and trust the Lord to answer everyone along the way. Bring your questions to Bible studies. Are we going to have one more tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Okay, one more tomorrow night. Bring some questions you want to. It doesn't matter. We'll answer or work on them and allow the Lord to speak. But what I want you to have is what I have, and you already have it too, but I want you to have it to the nth degree. Joy, peace, and contentment.
Grace, mercy, and peace.
We have that. What I want you to have is in your life, joy, peace, and contentment. Because God will show you this grace, and it just gets... Did you ever see those commercials that were in black and white, and then when they want to share their story, it turns into color to show how great this thing product was? You ever seen those commercials? Y'all ever seen those? No? There are several commercials that have been over in the last 25 years, and what they do is they do it in black and white. And when they want to show their product, it turns into living color. It's beautiful. It's a phenomenal type of way of advertising. But it's black and white. Everything looks dull. And then when the answer comes, it's all in color. And it's beautiful. And you see, ooh, this is really nice. But it's the same way with the Word of God. Sometimes, you know, black and white, and all of a sudden, boom, it comes into living color. And you go, wow, this is so neat. It's like this leaf I want to take back and show them. This is what they all look like in
Kentucky.
Oh,
you got a leaf to stick in your Bible.
Yeah, I've been having it all day there, so we can take it back. We don't have the color there. It's everything's just
Man,
green. Green or dead.
Trust me, when I leave here, you go back to Texas, I ain't taking nothing.
Not even me, I guess.
Oh, no. One thing I can say, I can go back and say, honestly, this is honest truth. I went over there inspecting. I was just thinking, because a guy came back from Kentucky, the Toyota plant up here, where is it in Louisville, Kentucky?
Yeah.
And he said, I know now why they call it in Kentucky called toothpaste. Because everyone was missing teeth. It was only like one or two teeth. And I was expecting all these ladies to be, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, and now it's like, man, these men like ladies are beautiful. I wish they'd come back to Texas.
You figured they were,
you know,
dipping women, right?
Something and knuckles dragging the ground. You know? Like me. We're all beautiful. All beautiful ladies up here.
What does he say that he did it in ignorantly and unbelief?
Well, he was ignorant and unbelief. He didn't believe the things. He was.
He didn't believe it.
Did you see everything? What? You're just reading the basics of the Bible. What do you say? I never saw that before.
Right. Yeah.
He knew it from A to Z, backwards and forwards, and he was so ignorant of the scriptures.
But the reason I'm asking is, it's like people will say that the reason that he wasn't killed is because he didn't.
No, God had mercy. Yeah, they say that, but it's he had mercy and grace because grace and mercy was shown upon him. That's why every bit. And,
no kidding.
Yeah.
Never.
You know what breaks my heart is to see people who have been with the faith for a while and they just stop coming.
Oh, I know it.
So, and it just breaks my heart.
Around here that
yeah.
Probably.
It will happen. Believe me, it will happen.
Do you think blasphemy in this age is the same?
No. There's all sins are forgiven.
No.
Well, I was going to have to call.
To Satan
to not
to blaspheme
because they were not holding faith in a good conscience.
Right.
They weren't hanging on to the Word of God. They were
right.
Rejecting.
To do
and,
what?
And because the Word of God is not complete, they're still living under the Jew first. I mean, I'm sorry, not Jew first, but under Paul's authority, which he had things he could do in his apostleship. But after 2 Timothy's writing, there's no more of that anymore. You can't do that anymore. He can't even do that. He just said, watch out. He said, now watch out for this guy. He's withstood our words. Well, in 1 Timothy, he turned him over to, they made it not learn blasphemy. Well, this guy, Alexander, 2 Timothy, he was worse than those two combined. He withstood the words from the beginning to end. And it seemed like he was saved. But he resisted the truth. But Paul didn't say he turned him over. He couldn't anymore. Because it was now the gospel of the grace of God was back.
I wonder where they saved. But I don't think he turned them over to Satan.
For the destruction of the flesh.
What kind of job?
Well, the guy
learned not to blaspheme.
Yeah, they got beat up a little bit.
Paul wouldn't ever be chastised by Satan to quit blaspheming because they weren't holding.
Right, because they were trying to upset the faith of others. At that time, he still had that authority.
Shipwreck.
Yeah.
It's, Bob, are you talking about
first thing they did was Hymenaeus, and the first thing that the blasphemy.
Come on, deliver all saved and learn blasphemy. And he had that power at the time still.
Yeah.
Did Satan come down? I don't know if they had some trials and tribulations knocking on their can to make them not learn not to blasphemy. And they learned.
Shipwreck of the faith.
They're preaching right at the Thanks, brother.
Go ahead.
Enjoy the experience. I'm so glad that you got to come. I was looking forward to seeing you guys. And, yeah. So, but
I was going to take that time last night.
I think we should be able to come out.
I'll try to get her to. I'm going to come back.
Do they have it still on the internet from last night or somewhere? Y'all still have it? If y'all want it, I think she has it over there on the computer. And but it's
she works for God.
Yeah.
Heavens.
I'm trying to make it. I want to make it.
Okay, this is Monday night. So is she going to be able to come?
I told you, both Ben and I both have bad breath. I'm not worried about me.
Okay.
I'm not going to pray.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't work Wednesday, but she said she was tired. I wish y'all could.
Yeah.
Just pray about that, because she really needs And of course, me being a man, I don't know.
Really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. She studies with a guy named Ed Mount. Some of you ever heard of him out of Memphis. And he's got a good website.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. The fellowship would help her, I know that. And, you know, the loving arms and support are always here. Because
especially in a little community like that, you know, you're going to find, you don't find, you know, it costs plenty of dollars.
It's like
rainwater.
It's like rainwater.
Well, there's nowhere for him to go. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we sends a campaign with her dad under the superintendent of the schools, and they go in a great position. And when, I mean, if the class is growing, the spirit, like I know, the peace of Christ, we're in your heart, and we all are the teacher. And finally, I felt like, well,
Well, don't feel like there's all waste, because the same type of situation happened in another church that I know of, where a guy was only there for 3 months and started sharing just bits and pieces about his body. That seed remained for years. 3 or 4 of them later found place to fellowship and then found out the truth because the seed was planted.
All right, well, I'm from my, you leaving?
Okay. All right, thanks for coming. Take care. Thank you.
We'll talk to you later.
I'm Clyde. I'm from Central Texas over here, a south of Austin, so the capital, San Marcos, Texas, a little small town south of Austin. Born and raised all my life in Texas, so born in Houston. Raised north of Houston, lived in Austin, Fort Worth.
Yay!
That's fine
with me. That's right. Keep the word of God.
Yeah, I love being up here for Southern Kentucky. It's really nice.
Yeah,
are you? And I wasn't paying attention when I was doing Mass. I looked at Alabama, and I looked at Kentucky, and I was driving to and I forgot Tennessee was between the two. Yes, I'm driving along, and I said, well, why does it say Nashville? Oh, my goodness, I forgot Tennessee. I called David, and I don't know why I'm even in time. My goodness, I forgot Tennessee was between the two. And there was a block in Tennessee, or Nashville, they were converted down to 24 and 65 division there. They went down one lane. So I finally got there. We go there and went around. They brought 124.
They had this thing about
it. It was nice. Beautiful. Yeah. I wish it was nice looking longer. It was so beautiful.
Are you guys all wearing store-bought clothing now? Yeah.
Oh, we do. We just
like said that.
I'm asking. Yeah.
No, she makes her. She makes her shirts. No, there's some.
Why doesn't God kill us? Because we're living in grace. So it's just wonderful to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see y'all later. Take care. All right, thanks for coming. Be sure to enjoy seeing you.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, take care.